Hello, everyone. I asked for questions for my AMA celebrating 1,500 followers, and y'all definitely delivered. thank you, and thank you for listening. I really, really, really appreciate it. I don't think I ever imagined that I would have this many ears on me, but here we are. Thank you. If you don't know who I am, I'm Scarlet, or, well, Lady Scarlet. So yeah, I'm going to go through these questions y'all sent in. There's quite a few. So I have a glass of wine with me and a bag of Twizzlers, and we're just going to have a little bit of wine and snack and answering questions time. Here we go. Number one, where do you see your career in 3 years? I was in school. As of this month, I no longer am. What am I doing with the rest of my life? I enjoy what I'm doing here. I do. I went to school for English literature, and I'm decent at writing, so I like writing. I also sort of have a dream of starting my own coffee cart that eventually turns into like a coffee shop or a cafe, but that's in the future. I think I'm just going to try and get a steady job right now with a steady income and try my hand at freelancing at a few different things and maybe getting started on that coffee cart and see what sticks. So, where do I see my career in 3 years? I guess we'll see. What's your favorite ice cream? I like a few kinds of ice cream. I usually like to get dulce de leche. And I also really like chocolate peanut butter. If there's no chocolate peanut butter or dulce de leche, then I tend to get like a cookies and cream or a mint chocolate chip. But, you know, I like vanilla and chocolate, too. They're perfectly good. But, yeah, I guess my top choices are dulce de leche and chocolate peanut butter. What's the book you've read the most times? Here's the thing about me. Even though I love to read, I have a hard time focusing on reading the same thing multiple times. So I don't, even if I really, really, really love a book, like, I'll have to be away from it for a long time before I get back to reading it. Otherwise, I can't finish it. I guess it's not quite a book, but what I've actually read the most times is Beowulf. Not because it's my favorite book, but because between high school and college, there was 5 different classes that I took that required that I read Beowulf. And I am not exaggerating when I say that. And so I read it every time. I know Beowulf very well. Anyway... What book have you read several times that made a mark on you? I love these book questions, by the way. I'm a big reader. But like I said, I don't tend to read books more than once. So when I thought about something that I've read a lot of times that made a mark on me, I actually thought of a children's book that I just absolutely adore. It's The Velveteen Rabbit. Some of you are probably familiar with it, but I just... Oh, like, I still sometimes read that and, like, cry. It's a really beautiful children's book, and if you haven't read it, you definitely should. It's about a little stuffed rabbit who wants to know what being a real rabbit is like. And so he's told by, like, a rocking horse that in order to become real, you have to be loved by a child very, very much. Okay, the last book I read and my opinion on it. I read The Buddha of Suburbia, which is an interesting book, like a really interesting book. It basically has to do with the identities of the immigrant population in the UK and their children and their children's children. So, you know, the people who follow, and the essentially what is Britishness, and if people feel that they fit into that identity or if they don't, and why. And it's a really cool story, just about one character's experience with that. There's a lot of themes in it. It's a very cool book. I don't know if I would recommend it as a casual read. Like, it's not a beach read, but it is very interesting, and I do recommend it. Very good. What's the last movie you saw? I saw The Batman. It was good. I really liked it. Have you ever cried during a movie? Yes. A million times. So many times. I am a big crier. And it is not uncommon to find me wailing at a movie. So when you ask, if yes, tell us about that. My question for you is, which time? I think the first movie I can remember crying at is My Girl. When the, spoiler alert, when the little boy dies. Oh God. That was a heartbreaking movie. Okay. My go-to comfort movie is The Princess Bride. I love that movie so, so much. My favorite cartoon growing up. Okay. So I'm not going to bother with this debate about cartoons versus anime. I understand the differences. I think it's a little silly when people get really defensive about it. But growing up as a kid, I didn't know the difference or have any understanding of that. And so I'm going to say the truth that my favorite cartoon growing up was Sailor Moon. And, oh, I still love Sailor Moon. I'm not sure if it's, like, really easy to get into as an adult, actually, because I think it's definitely a children's show format. But I love it so much. Are you a fan of musicals? And if so, which is your favorite? Yes, I am a fan of musicals. I have not had the opportunity to see very many musicals live, which is sad. But most of what I've seen has to have been a movie musical, unfortunately. I intend to see more like live productions in the future. I really would like to, because I have loved musicals for a very long time. The first one I ever loved was Phantom of the Opera. I remember seeing that movie and just, it's a thing. I really like Chicago, specifically, the whole musical is great, but I love that line in the Cell Block Tango where the woman goes, sorry, I guess some guys just can't hold their arsenic. I have no intention to kill anyone, I promise. And I don't think most of those men had it coming. But that is a great number, and if you disagree with me, you're wrong. And yes, to this question, do you sing in the shower, the car, neither, or both? Both. I do both. What's at the top of my music playlist? I'm going to answer this much more broadly before I get to the next question, because I might lose you on the next one, which is a related question. I like a variety of things. If I listen to it and I like it, I like it. It's hard for me to exactly define specifically what I'm interested in. Though I do like a lot of pop. I'm not anti-pop, as you'll probably be able to tell. But my favorite band is Florence and the Machine. I love Florence and the Machine. I also really like Nothing But Thieves, Kacey Musgraves. Even if you're not into country music, if you like female singer-songwriters, I suggest giving Kacey Musgraves a listen. It's good stuff. Good stuff. I like a lot of stuff. Ooh, you know what? I gotta tell you all, an underrated album. You're gonna hear the artist and you're gonna be like, really? And I'm gonna be like, yes, I'm not kidding. Kesha's Rainbow album, or well, the album is called Rainbow. It is like actual art, one of my favorite albums of all time. The songs that I have on repeat right now, This World Ain't Big Enough, St. Agnes, Purge the Poison, Marina. I listened to the one featuring Pussy Riot. There's The Cult of Dionysus by The Orion Experience. Going into a little more pop, I've been listening to Yes Mom, Tessa Violet on repeat. Yeah, that's a lot. I don't know. It's hard for me to answer that question. Part of the reason why it's hard for me to answer that question is because even though I have this long list of all kinds of interests, this next question, who is your favorite musical performer and why? And I want you to bear in mind that I listed some really cool musicians in the last question, and try not to lose me as I say that my favorite musical performer is Taylor Swift. I love Taylor Swift. And I have ever since I was 14 years old and she first started making music, and just every song was something that I wanted to dive into, or some feeling that I was experiencing and understood, and it felt like she was writing my diary, you know? But then, like, around Speak Now, I started realizing that that's her third album. She's, like, a legitimately very good songwriter. And people really underestimate that. Less so now since Folklore and Evermore have come out. People are a little less weird about it. She's been a good writer all along, and some of y'all just weren't paying attention, frankly. That's not entirely your fault. Her singles are never her best songs. Her best songs are always, like, the deep cuts on the album. What habit would you stop if it was as easy as flipping a switch? My problem isn't stopping habits, it's starting them. I have a really hard time making habits out of things that require me to do them habitually. I have so many hobbies that I start and then I drop because I'm just very bad at picking up good habits. I need to start some healthy habits as opposed to stopping any habits. That's the switch I would flip. How does a day in your life look? I don't know right now. I'm in a transitionary period. I used to go to school, and now I'm trying to get into work, and I imagine that I'll be going to work after waking up at a certain time, and then probably recording audio porn in the evenings. I don't know. My life's not that exciting. I wish I had more for you. But I wake up, I do whatever I gotta do for the day, and that's it. I don't know. Let's see what happens in the near future. I'll keep you updated if my day changes. How much does religion matter to you in a relationship? Would you be okay with being with someone that believes in God? Would you be more comfortable if your partner didn't believe in God? This is a fun question for somebody who does porn. So, I grew up in the Bible Belt in the South, and so I grew up religious as a part of a religious family. I still value that upbringing and cling to it in some ways, but my relationship with religion, and specifically Christianity, because I grew up in a Christian household, is definitely different than it used to be. So in storytelling, I'll say storytelling, we have these things we call big truths and little truths. And big truths are the overarching truths, the big themes that we learn in storytelling and in religion that are true about the life we live and the world around us. And they're told through stories. Little truths are facts, data, specific things that are definitively true, right? Now, in my personal opinion, the Bible is full of big T truths and full of our misunderstandings of big T truths, and not quite as full of little T truths. There's a difference between the concepts that bind us together as humans that are true and facts. And in my personal opinion, all religions are formed in an effort to understand those big T truths. I personally believe that there is a power out there among us and within ourselves that exists. Otherwise, we wouldn't have spent all this time trying to explain it and understand it. And yes, I mean, we have scientific explanations for things that I wholeheartedly believe. I am pro-science. But there's something there that we've always been trying to explain. And I am okay with someone that believes in God. I'm not necessarily more comfortable if my partner doesn't believe in God. But if you believe in God, then you need to be open to change and different understandings of things. Because nothing stays the same. Absolutely nothing stays the same. What stereotype about your country or ethnicity do you dislike the most? I'm a white woman. I'm specifically an American white woman. And while I do think that there are stereotypes about white people, none of them bother me. And maybe even not all of them are necessarily true, but none of them bother me. It's cool. If anyone deserves to be picked on, it's white people. Now, my country, that being said, and I would like to point out that my country has problems. And this is a hard question for me to answer. There are a few stereotypes about America that bother me. The idea that America has no culture, and like, okay, so in a way, partially that is true, in that a lot of what we consider to be our culture is taken from other people's cultures, other countries, minority groups, all of the above, right? But, like, it's there. Like, we exist in culture on a day-to-day basis, so it can be harder for us as Americans to see what that culture is, right? But it's definitely there. So yeah, that's what I can think of for now. I'm sure there are other things I could think about, but honestly, let's just say there's not a lot of stuff that you can say about America or, you know, my ethnicity that would bother me. Unless you're white and British. Please don't get me wrong. I love you, Brits. I do. But if you are white and British, you can shut the hell up, because we do not need to be throwing stones in glass houses. That is all. I don't know. I guess, you know, before anyone gets any ideas, there are a lot of things I love about America. I do. Very much. It's my home. It's where I grew up. And how can I hate a place where there are so many people here that I love, right? It's just, the sentiment that America is the greatest country and we're the good guys and we can do no wrong. It's very misguided. That's all. Worst date and best date you've ever been on. So this is an interesting question for me because I have not been on a lot of dates in my life. I've slept with people. I've like hung out with people. But not basically my whole single life was me liking a guy, convincing him to quote unquote date me, but not really going on dates, just like chilling. So that has comprised the majority of my dating experience. I have not been on a lot of dates. none of the dates I've been on, which are again is very few, have been particularly bad or particularly good. Just kind of meh. So this question, what are some of the biggest mistakes men make when it comes to sex as well as dating and relationships? And what advice do you have for men on avoiding those mistakes? So I have exactly one note for people with penises. And that is thinking the moment of insertion is the star of the show, because it is not. The penis is not the star of the sex show. The penis is the closing act, but it, and you know what? Not even always, just for the record. But you know, but if you're having penis and vagina intercourse, everything leading up to that is equally, if not more important. Added bonus, toys in the bedroom, not a bad thing, not a threat to your manhood, because the penis, again, not the star of the show, and your sexual prowess is about making her feel good, or him or them, you know, whoever you're with, as opposed to what you think it is, which is, I give the best fucking with my penis, and just chill. Just chill a bit. It's cool, guys. It's cool. Now, the rest of my answer to this question is directed at people of all genders, not just men. One that I experienced a lot before I got therapy and became a little more secure as a person is if you're jealous because of what a person might do if they're with somebody else, it's not going to benefit anybody for you to get possessive and jealous and controlling. Now, jealousy is a natural human emotion, but the possessiveness and controllingness and just the things that come with it aren't beneficial to anyone involved. And frankly, if you have a relationship built on mutual respect, and you have not discussed having an open relationship of some kind, and they do that, they like step outside of those boundaries, that's not the person for you, or they're not ready to be in the relationship. And no amount of possessiveness or controlling behavior is going to make that better. It's just going to make things more toxic and more difficult. So that doesn't mean that, you know, people who cheat or whatever get a free pass or no, it's fine. It's healthier to let go of people who aren't ready for the relationship that you want than it is to try and hold tightly to that relationship with toxic behavior and hurt them ultimately and hurt yourself too. Jealousy is a natural human emotion, but the remedy for jealousy is proper communication and an equal understanding of what you want out of the relationship. Another one is related to that, being more communicative with your feelings, and on the flip side, really listening to the other person's feelings and what they're saying instead of just reacting to what they're saying. Communication, I know that's like a meme, almost. What's the most important part of a relationship? Communication! But it's very true. Talk about your feelings. Another one. This one's very key. Talk about what you're looking for and what your intentions are when looking at new relationships. And that doesn't mean you have to say, I want to marry you on the first date. But it means that maybe you say, hey, so I'm okay with just having fun and seeing where things are going for now, but I am in the near future hoping to look toward marriage. Like, that's a perfectly reasonable thing to say, and it's important that you say it, frankly. You know, if that's what you're looking for, whatever it is you're looking for. Let's go through some other relationship advice type things. Any advice for people who are looking to get married? It's okay to try and impress each other. That's fine. But there's a line between trying to impress a partner with the best of yourself, which is fantastic. And honestly, you want to try to be the best of yourself as much as you can for your partner, no matter what. But there's a line between that and pretending like you're somebody you're not, saying, I can't do this because this person won't like me if I do this, but it is me, right? So, like, eventually they're gonna find out, right? Pretending to eat a salad on the first date because you don't want to look like a pig is stupid. It just is. Or, like, avoiding talking about your nerdy hobbies, right? Also stupid. Because they're not becoming interested in the real you if you aren't you. And you don't want somebody who doesn't want the real you. You don't. You really don't. I know that can be hard when part of who you are is something that the girls you're interested in don't like. But trust me when I say, the people who would be put off by those things that are you are not the people that you want to be with, especially if you're looking to get married. You're just not going to be happy. Another one. Try to marry someone whose values align with you and who wants the same things for the future. That's very important. That doesn't mean that you have to have the, like, same kind of background or whatever, but just, are you heading in the same direction? Do you have similar expectations for the future? Do you have similar values? The values that you don't share, are there things that you can discuss and compromise? But you have to talk about those things before you get married. You have to. Like, that is non-negotiable. Otherwise, you're going to end up in bed with a serial killer. That's all I'm saying. Sorry. Another thing, needing someone like you need oxygen is not healthy. True, healthy love that lasts isn't a blazing fire. It's a warm glow. This is an analogy I use sometimes. It's a warm glow that makes you feel at home. And it makes you feel strong and capable enough to exist on your own. It doesn't make you feel like without this person you can't breathe. But if this person can't be around, they've supported you and loved you and built you up so that you can be okay. Is using coupons on a first date sexy? It's not sexy. I suppose it indicates some level of fiscal responsibility. And to some people that might be like extra hot. Like, ooh, you're using coupons. Oh, you're so hot. Look at that fiscal responsibility. But it's not not sexy. If you find someone who's offended you're using coupons on a date, they ain't got their priorities right, honestly. When you are dating someone new, do you think serious topics and questions should be avoided, save for later, and keep the dates casual, or should be talked about as early as possible? Let's say we're referring to the first 3 or 4 dates. So, it has to do with your comfort level. Like, how much of yourself are you willing to reveal to this new person? That's not in the effort of hiding yourself from them. You shouldn't try to hide yourself from them. But just, you know, there are certain things that you want to save for somebody that you feel more comfortable around and know more about. But part of getting to know somebody is being honest with each other about things. And while maybe the do you want to have kids, are you looking to get married question, maybe that's not great for the first date. I think, first of all, if you do bring it up on the first date, there's nothing wrong with you. I think you're just trying to be honest about what you're looking for. But, you know, if you're trying to play it cool or whatever, which is fine, then maybe bring it up on a couple dates later. But, like, within the first 3 to 4 dates, that's, I don't, depending on the speed at which you're dating things, that's like a month into dating, right? Yes, like, talk to each other about what your intentions and needs and what your hopes for the future are. And those are serious questions that you should absolutely talk about within the first 3 to 4 dates. Maybe not the first. It just depends on what the vibe is. Okay, moving slightly. You guys asked me a lot of very serious questions. Moving away from relationship advice, but still relatively serious. If you could go back in time and talk to your younger self, what advice would you give her? I'll add, I'm not entirely sure that my younger self would respond to this advice or believe it, but here it is. Don't let your feelings about your body and food define your self-worth. And that comes with a lot of other things attached to it that I just cannot discuss in this AMA. But, you know, that's the gist of it. And that she needs to try and de-escalate her feelings before making choices or reacting. Again, that is a hard learned lesson, and I'm not sure how well she would learn it, but it's important. Oh, fuck. Also, pee after sex. You got so many UTIs. Just pee after sex. All right. Moving on to the less serious questions here. What, in your opinion, is the strangest, most unexpected tourist attraction you've ever visited? Mine is the Iowa Corn Palace. First of all, that sounds awesome. I would love to see the Iowa Corn Palace. I have a goal to visit all kinds of ridiculous and obscure tourist attractions. I have a list of them that I got off of Atlas Obscura. Unfortunately, I haven't seen very many yet, or any, actually. But I'll say, this is not obscure or weird or strange, but I did go to Japan in 2019, and Nara was really cool because the deer, you can feed the deer, and, like, you can hold up the, be warned, the deer are aggressive. If they know you have the food, they'll follow you and, like, might even headbutt you a little. Like, it doesn't hurt, but still, they're aggressive, but, you know, they're already trained. Enough tourists have made sure of that, but you can buy these crackers from vendors, and, I hid them in my back pocket so the deer didn't see them. But you can hold one up and you can bow and, they'll bow back. And when they bow back, you feed them. It's really cool. Do you prefer the beach, the mountains, or the woods? I do like all of the above. I will say, The mountains and the woods are kind of a combined thing for me, but I guess there are mountains without woods. I hope I'm not giving away too much about where I live. I love the mountains. I really do. I love the mountains so much. Do you have a favorite chocolate chip cookie recipe from your tipsy baking posts? Okay, some of y'all weren't here for this, but a while back, I'd say several months ago. Oh God, where that? Sorry. Sometimes the accent. Anyway, several months ago, I did some short tipsy baking videos on Twitter, which you should follow me there because I do fun stuff like that sometimes. Where I got a little tipsy and I baked chocolate chip cookies and I filmed myself tipsy baking chocolate chip cookies. It was fun. We had a good time. We had a dance break. It was good. a lot of people enjoyed it, but, yeah. for those videos, I actually just used the Toll House recipe. I didn't use anything special. I don't have a particular recipe. I should come up with a recipe, though. I should, like, formulate Scarlett's special chocolate chip cookie recipe so that in the future when I make tipsy baking videos, I can make my special chocolate chip cookie recipe. And last one for this section, which I titled... what did I title this section? Personal and opinion questions. What is your favorite octopus fact? So, for those of you who don't know, because maybe you don't follow me on Twitter, which is fine, you don't have to, I'm a very big fan of octopuses. Not in, like, a tentacle porn kind of way, which, for the record, octopuses don't have tentacles, they have arms, they're different. Squids have tentacles. Octopuses do not have tentacles. Octopuses have arms. I know a lot about octopuses. I love them. I've watched many documentaries. I have many octopus memorabilia. And I'm a little obsessed with them, honestly. So I sometimes on Twitter do octopus facts. See, I told you I do lots of fun stuff on Twitter where I'm just like, hey, octopus joke and fact, or octopus fact, and here's like a cute picture of an octopus or whatever, right? And people enjoy that. I'm glad they do. I really am. But my favorite thing about octopuses, I will say, is a collection of facts. It's just generally their intelligence. I love how smart octopuses are. They're like one of the smartest creatures, and they're smart in a way that, like, it's influenced by human intelligence, but, like, they don't talk or have obvious human kind of intelligence, but we still know they're crazy smart, right? And I love that about them. So octopuses, if you just want to know a few cool things about how smart they are, for one, they play. They do. That's one way we measure animal intelligence, is if they play. An octopus will absolutely play. Like, they've been seen using a funnel to, like, blow things around their tank just for fun. And there was an experiment where they, like, gave an octopus a Lego or something, and he just spent so long just, like, tossing the Lego between his arms, just, like, tossing them back and forth and back and forth for literally no reason, just for having fun, right? They have very cool brains. they use tools. Another fun thing about them is they will, like, they've been seen using parts of things they found in the ocean to make, like, little mobile homes for themselves. And they've done, you know, other kinds of things. They use tools. That's so cool. They made home. They're, like, they're not, they don't need mobile homes. They can make their own homes, but they're like, hey, this would make a cool mobile home. there was another experiment where the octopus, his treat was put in a bottle with a childproof cap. And, like, within 5 minutes, he figured out how to open it properly. Like, not just, like, force it open, but, like, literally just figured out how to open it properly to get to his treat, which is very, very cool. It's a collection of facts, I guess, but I just really love how intelligent octopuses are. They're very cool. There's a lot of other cool things about them, too. And if you want to know more cool things about them, I guess you'll just have to look at my octopus fact tweets. All right, we're moving on to VA questions. Whew, I told you it was going to be a while. How do you stumble upon GWA? I was going to school before, like I said, and I had a bit of a sexual fantasy infatuation thing going on in my brain that was not existing in real life. And like, I was having trouble managing it. And so I was just reading a ton of like stories related to that thing on Reddit. And I ran out of stories related to that thing. And I was like, well, what else can I do? And then I saw somebody had an audio on Reddit. And I thought, sound is the worst part of porn. Why is there just sound porn? But I clicked on it. And it was beautiful. And I loved it. And it was wonderful. And I was obsessed. And for a whole week, I masturbated multiple times a day. Just thoroughly enjoying my GWA experience. Yeah, so that's what happened. What has been your biggest personal discovery through your GWA journey? That is a big question. I am a sexual being, and that is okay. It is fully and totally okay. There's nothing wrong with it. When do I typically record? Typically in the evening. Do you have a routine before recording? I like to make myself a cup of tea, or if it's really late and I'm just like recording one thing, pour myself a glass of wine. That's nice. Yeah. What's your favorite position while recording? Okay. So here's the part where I hate to spoil the illusion, but I record, ramble fap or not, sitting up in my chair, straight up and down, my mouth next to the microphone, looking at my computer. There's nothing sexy about the position in which I record. And in the ramble faps, I really am masturbating, I promise. But for the most part, just seated up in front of the microphone. Sorry, it's not spicy. Seen hints of you liking anal play. Would you do more anal play for us to hear and see? It's interesting you say see. I don't do visual porn. I do lewds, if you're interested in seeing those photographs, but I could definitely do more anal play and audio. I don't have any intention at this moment in time, but that doesn't mean it won't happen. Like, I'm into a little bit of it. It depends. Favorite scenario to fill. This is difficult for me because I actually do like a pretty wide range of things. Like, there are certain things I don't do, but there's not. I switch between different things because I'm super switchy. And I don't know. It's hard for me to determine a pattern for myself. I love a teasing switch. So tease, 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 switch, right? I might have to get back to you on this answer, because I still don't know. I really like performing in general. I tend to enjoy performing a gentle F-dom more than I do other things, even though, like, I'm sort of maybe slightly more submissive in real life, potentially. It's a toss up. But I do really enjoy performing gentle F-dom. That's a lot of fun for me. So I guess that's what I'll answer for that. As far as scenario goes, I don't know. Don't know. I like all kinds of shit. Okay. Any kink audio you're interested in filling that you haven't? So, there's not a lot that I'm interested in filling that I haven't yet, but there's things that I have touched on that I haven't gotten into yet that I would really like to get into. I want to do more exhibitionism, I want to do more group sex things, and I want to do more pet play. I don't think I've done any pet play. I did a cameo as an octopus once. That was kind of pet play-ish at the end. But yeah, okay, I guess I'd be interested in doing a little pet play. But I would really like to do more exhibitionism and group sex. What type of erotic audios will you absolutely not listen to or record yourself? So there are some things that I will consider recording because I've been told I might do them well, but I don't love listening to most of the time. Hypnosis tends to freak me out. That doesn't mean I won't ever like a hypnosis audio, but just the way this, like, I can't even listen to, like, meditation music because it freaks me out. I have issues with my brain. And I need to be very comfortable for something that messes with that, right? So hypnosis is something I could potentially listen to, but don't, and would potentially record in the future. As for things I will not record or listen to, foot fetish stuff. I have a thing against feet. I really hate feet. They're very gross to me. If you like them, that's fine. I have nothing against you. Violent rape. I have done some rape content, but, like, if it's, like, really mean and aggressive and violent, right? I ain't into that. Water sports, not into. I would consider doing chastity if the script was really good, but it's not something I'm gonna listen to because I am not turned on by it, and, like, I don't really necessarily want to perform it. Heavy whips and bondage. That being said, like, I'm not against bondage. Light bondage is good. A little bit of pain is good. I'm good with all that. You know, the really extreme stuff is not really my thing. I prefer to go on the lighter end of that. Knife play. Ain't gonna do it. Sorry, babe. There's other things, too, but they're things that, like, I generally wouldn't have to be too concerned about in this space, like, age play, race play, like, extreme gore, like, none of that. I'm not too worried about that in this space, but, yeah, I wouldn't do any of that. What type of script do you secretly want to perform but think you're not ready for yet? I don't know. I really don't. Hand me a script, I'll probably try it. I don't know if there's anything I'm not sure I'm ready for yet. Maybe there is, we'll see. Who knows? Which type of script or genre has never been written but you desperately want to perform? I don't know this one either, because I feel like a lot of shit has been written. But I am very interested in like experimenting with like games and interactive content. Like not like digital games where you like push the button and whatever happens, but like, I don't know how to explain it. Like a community event where you like do something fun with the audio. I don't know how to explain it, guys. I'm sorry. Also, a friend of mine had a really fun idea for a D&D thing that I am not going to go into detail about, but is really, really a good idea. And I would actually like to do in the future. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I am a GWA listener to the person who asked if I'm a GWA listener. And what type of content do I seek? You know what? I feel like that can kind of be answered in the next one. Are there any GWA tags that you prefer to perform or listen to? So on the performing end of things, I tend to be interested more in character, scenario, or concepts that are interesting to me, as opposed to tags specifically. I really enjoy performing gentle FDOM. A lot. I do enjoy that. But I enjoy the other things too. I don't know. I enjoy a lot of shit. I enjoy performing comedy. That's a lot of fun for me. But as far as both performing and listening to, I love exhibitionism and voyeurism. I'm into MDOM content. Gentle MDOM, sometimes not gentle MDOM, but it depends. I gotta check the tags first. I love praising and good girl shit. That's good stuff. Things that are a little possessive. I don't like possessiveness in real life, but in an audio or sexual scenario, it's fun. if you sprinkle in another language just a little bit, I enjoy that. I speak English and I have working knowledge of Spanish. So like, I do prefer mostly English, but like, just, you know, a little bit of another language is fun. I enjoy it. It's hot. I love teasing. Teasing is one of my favorite things to perform and to listen to. Light degradation. I'm very particular about my degradation. So if you have degradation in an audio, I need to know what the degradation is. I'm very sensitive about intelligence-related degradation. I need it to be a certain way. So I do enjoy it, but I need it to be a certain way. And I really... I really enjoy facials or come on the face. And yeah, moving on. Were there tags you initially were reluctant to fill when you started but have changed your position since? I haven't necessarily changed my position on Daddy Dom. I was never against it, but there's a lot of presumptions associated with Daddy Dom, right? Being the sub in a Daddy Dom situation is enjoyable for me, and I like to perform it. I definitely experience a little reluctance, and I'm careful about what I do with it. And I get a lot of messages from people wanting to be my daddy, so don't do that, please and thank you. And yeah, so rape is something that I have difficulty with, because there's some rape audio that I'm okay with and some of it that I'm not so okay with. So there's a reluctance to fill it, but I am okay with doing it under certain circumstances. Did you figure out any kinks about yourself through your GWA experience? There's this interesting thing that happened with me where all of my life I've said things like, man, I would have sex with that person's voice. And it never occurred to me. Oh, that's like a thing. So aside from like a general voice kink, I was relatively aware of some kind of exhibitionism interest I had, but like I didn't, it wasn't solidly like a thing in my mind. And when I started doing this, I realized, oh, I'm into exhibitionism. That explains a lot. throat fucking was a new one for me. Not one that I've ever actually tried, but I want to, you know? We'll see. In general, like, power play, it's not something I've had a lot of experience in. So that's something that I've been exploring that I didn't explore a lot before. Also, F-Dom specifically, because I knew that, like, you know, a lot of people know that they're into, like a more commanding dude or whatever, right? But I just, it sort of opened up my boundaries as far as like who can be commanding and shit like that, right? Like, I enjoy doing a little bit of dominating, and that's not something that I'd really ever thought about before. Daddy. Hi. controversial, I suppose. It's something that I thought was gross before. And then I was like, oh, but I'm into it. So maybe not. for the record, kinks aren't gross. I'm not shaming you for whatever. But, you know, I was uneducated, unaware. I enjoy a little bit of daddy. It's a thing. What are the three VAs you would like to collab with, and what do you like about their work? So, I would like to collab with a lot of people. Specifically, I'm looking into collabing with BSA and Neon Dextrose together as part of one single audio. Nothing has been written yet, but I've discussed it, and it's definitely an interest we have. We even have like a concept in mind. It just hasn't been written yet. I love BSA. Pardon my French. Bonsoir anxiety. I apologize for that. Anyway, she has a very unique tone of voice that I really enjoy. And it's really gorgeous. I love it. And Neon Dextrose, we call her Dex. You can call her Neon, whatever. She is gorgeous. And the work that she puts into the content she produces is just, I really admire it. And she's very naturally talented as well. I would like to do more collabs or any collabs with some of our mask voice actors. I understand that my audience does not necessarily want to listen to men in their audio. you just every once in a while I'll produce one. You can deal with it. It'll be fine. I would just, generally speaking, like to work with some more mask voices. Yeah, just, I have a lot of really cool ideas for that, is what it is. And if I can get people on board, that'd be really fun. Okay. How long is your to be recorded list? Very, 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 very long. Very long. Have you ever filled a script but decided not to post it? Why? I have. Occasionally there's a script that I enjoy the script, I enjoy the idea, but I wonder if it's right for me or my voice, and so I don't post it. And then occasionally, like, there's something I recorded wrong, or, like, I want to do a different version of. So it just kind of sits in my files until I, like, re-record bits of it, and I haven't gotten around to recording bits of it yet. But yeah, for the most part, if I record something, I post it. For the most part. There's very few things I don't post. What do you get out of being a VA? That is a terrific question. I enjoy performing as a form of creative expression, for one. When I'm acting a part, I put a lot of myself into it, and then creative interpretation performing is always something I've enjoyed. There's a little bit of enjoyment out of some validation and attention seeking. I'm not going to lie about that, but it's not like, it's not the primary reason behind it. I hope you can accept that. I think that it's a very cool way to explore my sexual self, things that I may be interested in or have been interested in, but don't have the means with which I can explore those things. And actually, I've always been interested in voiceover in general, so it gives me practice, acting and performing practice, and I appreciate that. There's a lot of things that I enjoy about being a VA here. Which VA performance or script made you decide to start performing yourself, or was the notion of lewd audios in general? That's a great question. There is a particular VA, who I was listening to when I thought, oh, this could be fun. I'm not going to name him because he hasn't posted in a while, and I don't know how receptive he is to me spreading his name out there. But there is a particular VA who I was listening to when my interest in GWA was piqued, where I listened to his stuff and I thought, this is really hot. It also sounds like a lot of fun. And so it was partially that. It was partially his work, but it was also me realizing that I'd been wanting to do voiceover for a long time and hadn't gotten into it and wanted something to motivate me to practice. And the idea of lewd content as a whole sounded like a lot of fun to me. So all of the above, I suppose. How come with what you're studying, you're not writing any scripts? Oh, okay. All right. Look, here's the deal, guys. I was studying English until this month. and I have several questions that are related to this. I noticed you've done a couple of OC audios and collaborative scripts. And of course, your improv skills are fantastic. Thank you. Are you a writer, and can we hope that you might honor us with some script offers at some point? And what scripts have you filled that you wish you'd written yourself? There's a lot of questions about my writing. I do write. I write a lot. I have a lot of things in the works. I haven't posted anything yet. Although, I have a completed script that I might post an offer for very soon. I'm not super disciplined about my writing, even though I love it, even though I'm actually good at it. I'm not really disciplined about it. So I can't guarantee any consistency, but I do intend to write, especially for my own content, and post the scripts. It's something I would like to do. So, stay tuned for that. As far as scripts I've filled that I wish I'd written myself, I don't have a lot of that. Mainly because when I fill a script, if it inspires me, it inspires me to write my own thing. I don't think, oh, I wish I wrote that. I think, oh, that's really cool. I could write something like that, but with this and this and this, right? And that's sort of how the creative process works, is we build off of each other and we learn things from each other. And so I can write my own thing because I'm inspired by somebody else, right? It works that way with audio, too. There are lots of audios that I've heard or ideas that I've heard that people recorded where I'm like, oh my God, that's a great idea. What if I do something like that, but I do this to it? And this, it's a process, you know? Creativity doesn't happen in a vacuum. I mean, I guess it could, but for the most part, what we experience in our lives and hear and read inspires what we create. Honestly, my voice is starting to get tired, but we're getting close to the end here. Besides GWA, what are your three top erotic subreddits to visit? So the ones that got me to GWA, because I finished reading those and I was like, well, what's next? Are Dirty Confessions and Slutty Confessions. Those are fun. And I will admit to sometimes browsing through certain subreddits about tits and dilfs. Just, yeah. Okay, I'll admit that. Let's move on. Sexual personal questions is my next section here. Any kink you haven't explored in real life that you want to? Generally speaking, my interest in power play, power dynamics, domming, subbing, etc., etc., I have not gotten a lot of in real life chances to explore. How deep is your vagina? I haven't measured it. If I had, I wouldn't tell you, my love. Sorry. What is the dumbest, funniest sexual encounter you've ever had? This is such a boring answer, but I've not had very many dumb or funny sexual encounters. Most of my sexual encounters have either been very hot, very standard, or very boring. I sort of wish there'd been some fun bits sprinkled in there, but oh well. For the record, I think sex should be funny and interesting. And it's not always, but like, it's cool. Dumb shit happens when you have sex. It's fine. What physical aspect of a male, if possible female as well, body turns you on the most? So, for mask, femme, androgynous bodies, and all genders, I tend to really enjoy the area around the collarbone. That being the chest space underneath, the space in between the collarbones, right? The shoulders on either side, and the collarbones themselves. I love that space and basically everybody. It's very hot. I tend to like forearms in mask individuals and wrists in femme individuals. I mean, I like tits, but that's not an unusual thing. I mean, frankly, most parts of the body, if like it's attractive and I'm interested in seeing it, Yeah, absolutely. So yeah, but those are my specific answers. What time during the day are you the horniest? I can be horny at any point in time during the day, but admittedly later at night, I tend to be like a little extra feral. I don't think that's unusual though. What's your ideal amount of sex per week? It depends on the week. If I'm splitting the difference, 3 times a week, but there are some times where I'm just on it every single day of the week, and sometimes where I'm just not feeling it. I don't know. It depends. But most consistently, probably about 3 days a week. I am totally into masturbating, like, every day, though. It requires less energy and effort. Favorite sex position and why? I have a few that I like. I really like prone bone. Kind of doggy style, but like your torso is up and like pressed against the wall or whatever. I enjoy something kind of like cowgirl, but where the person with the penis inside me is sitting up. And with people without penises, I don't know, all kinds of things. It's all fun. Yeah. Which fictional character do you want to have sex with the most and why? Okay. Wesley from Princess Bride, or, you know, the Dread Pirate Roberts, can get it anytime. What's your favorite sex scene in a piece of fiction, and what about it is so compelling? I don't necessarily have a favorite sex scene in a piece of fiction. I do have a scene in a piece of fiction that I will always remember and really turns me on, and it's from anime. It's Maid-sama. Either episode 16 or 17, I can't remember which one this happens in, but the main male character, Usui, and the female character, Masaki, so she she dresses up in a bikini because she is about to serve people on the beach as like a cafe kind of thing, right? And he like sees her and he gets pissed off and jealous. And again, jealousy in real life, totally normal, but like, you know, don't do shitty stuff, right? but erotically, kind of into it. He's a little pissed off because she's about to go serve people at a cafe in a bikini, and he's like, don't like that. And so, as she's about to leave, he pulls her to him and just bends down and puts his mouth on her back and just gives her a hickey. And it's just... it's very hot. And so it's also like a little problematic, but it's very hot. So she can't wear the bikini, she has to wear a t-shirt over it because she has a big old hickey on her side. But that's a moment that I thoroughly enjoy. Maid-sama, either episode 16 or 17, I can't remember which. You are so very, very attractive. Why do you only do audio? First of all, thank you. That is kind of you to say. Audio is within my comfort level. I actually do post lewds. And if you subscribe to my Patreon at the lowest tier, I post lewds where my nipples are showing. Not all of them have my nipples showing, but just, you know, I don't show my nipples and lewds in the general public, but I do on my Patreon. So technically, there is visual content that I produce. It's just You know, I don't do like video porn. And that's just about my comfort level. I like to make sure that I'm maintaining anonymity. And it's easier to do that when I'm just a voice, right? And I just don't know if I'm ready to be that physically vulnerable with the general public. That's not to say that I won't ever do anything else, but as of right now, it's just what I'm comfortable with. If you had to choose one type of dom for the rest of your life, what would that type of dom be? I enjoy a lot of different kinds of play, in theory, actually, considering I mostly just enjoy it through audio. I enjoy a little daddy dom, a little gentle dom. I do tend to lean toward primal. It's a lot of fun for me. If I had to pick one for the rest of my life, it would be a gentle dom. Daddy dom is a thing that I like to, like, pull on and take off, right? I enjoy it, but for the most part, look, I'm an adult woman and I make my own damn choices. And I don't need you coddling me. That was super switchy, wasn't it? Anyway, primal, I love, but it would be exhausting if that was all I did. So yeah, just one for the rest of my life. Let's do a little gentle dom. It's lovely. Okay, and for the end of this section, do you currently have a dominant? If not, do you fantasize about having one? I don't currently have a dominant. I wouldn't say I fantasize about having one. I enjoy the idea. And if some opportunity that I am into presents itself in my life, that would be lovely. But please, if you're just someone who listens to me, don't try. Just don't, please. There's a lot of you. There's 1,500 of you. I mean, not all of you are trying to be my dom, but you know, like, still. A dom-sub relationship is built on a lot of mutual trust, understanding, and I can't enter that kind of thing casually. So maybe it would be nice to have one, but I'm not, like, waiting for one, if that makes sense. Okay. All right. Now, there's a certain category of questions that I've received that we gotta talk about. In order, do you find muscular men more attractive than non-muscular men? Do you find tall men more attractive than short men? Do you like hung men more than non-hung men? What is your dick size preference? Are you a size queen? Followed by a couple of questions from a couple different people, implying that they are not what women want and want to know if they should give up. Oh, we gotta talk, guys. First, I am not a size queen. I am perfectly happy to have sex with somebody who has any size penis. Honestly, truly, really. As long as you and I connect, and I trust you, and I'm interested in you, and you're interested in me, and there's some chemistry and safety and opportunity. Like, I literally don't give a shit what size you are. Now, sometimes it can be fun to be like, oh, that person has a big dick. I bet they can reach all kinds of fun places. But it has little to no effect over whether or not I'm interested in fucking you. Because the fact of the matter is you can have good sex with whatever size dick you have. And that goes the same for how muscular you are, or tall you are, any of that. What you're feeling about yourself is valid. There is absolutely a bias in our society and others toward big dicks and muscular men and tall men. I know it's easy to say it's what women want. It is the idea that there is a certain standard for men and masculinity. People who don't meet that ideal are told that they're less than. I mean, fuck. This discussion is very complicated. But the fact of the matter is that it is reasonable for you to feel this way. And I don't want you to have to feel that way. So listen to me and understand when I say that I understand your insecurity. And it is totally valid. In fact, I have plenty of insecurities myself. And they're based off of what the ideal is that I don't measure up to. But there is definitely a difference between what our culture and society tells us is good and attractive and desirable and what actually is on an independent basis. And frankly, there are absolutely going to be plenty of people in this world who their interests are so heavily influenced by the culture that they live in, which values these things that you might not have, that they can't be attracted to you. And that sucks, and it hurts, and I'm sorry. But they're not the majority, believe it or not. I know it seems like they are, but there are a couple of things that I urge you to consider. One, the people that you're looking at and interested in, who you want to be interested in you, are you maybe evaluating them by culturally expected standards of attractiveness? What kind of people are they? Do you like them because they're hot and you just want them to think you're hot? I'm not saying that's all of you. It's something to consider. And if you've considered that and you still feel like there's nobody who will ever find you attractive, you're wrong. That's all there is to it. That's not to say that there aren't traditionally attractive people out there who will also find you attractive, but there's no need to narrow your search. There are people out there who enjoy muscular men and non-muscular men. There are people out there who enjoy tall men and short men and men with big dicks and men without big dicks. As hard as it can be to believe, there are people out there who like all kinds of people. But because of our culturally accepted standards of beauty and popular culture, I understand that it can be difficult to find your kind of people. There are a couple specific things that I would like to address in these questions. One of these questions says, I have heard horror stories from men about how women reacted to their small sizes, and I don't want to go through any of those experiences. I'm also worried that sex with my size will never feel pleasurable as having sex with a dude of a larger size, Even the toys nowadays that women purchase are bigger sizes, and there are so many kinks based around humiliation of small penis sizes, cuckolding, etc. So I feel like the world is telling me not to bother, since it will never feel good for her anyway, or even if it does, a bigger size will always be better. So should I stay a virgin and avoid potentially disappointing women, or take the risk? Firstly, I don't know who's telling you those horror stories, and possibly they have experienced those things, but nobody, absolutely nobody I know is going to laugh at a guy with a small dick. And if you're around those people, don't fucking be around those people. It's not common for people to harass you about your dick size. As far as sex being pleasurable, and this is something I kind of discussed earlier, sex, the main event isn't penis and a vagina, frankly. That appears to be the star of the show based on pornography and all these kinds of things we see. But sex can be very pleasurable with or without insertion, period. Like, there are so many ways to pleasure a woman that don't include sticking your cock inside her. And you know what? Some of those ways include toys, but those toys aren't competition for you. They're ways to make her feel good. And if she feels good, then she enjoys having sex with you, and it doesn't fucking matter what size your dick is. And you get to have sex with her. In a healthy sexual relationship, there's a mutual reciprocation. You make her feel good, she'll make you feel good, and it doesn't matter how big your dick is. I would also like to add that the kink surrounding humiliation of small penis sizes and cuckolding that you mentioned, I know that those exist, but they're not a threat to you. There's so much to this. It will feel good for her, and it will feel good for you. And it's not about your dick size, and I know that's hard to believe. I know me sitting here telling you this is not going to necessarily convince you, but there are people out there, and you just got to find them. Because beauty is incredibly subjective. The one thing that you're insecure about, or even the three things that you're insecure about, are just a couple of things on your tool belt, your arsenal. You have so many things about you that will draw people to you. It could be your humor, it could be anything, and even physically, the things that you see as weaknesses, other people are going to love. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. Maybe not the majority of people out there, but it's true. You do have a chance. And the idea that any woman who comes to you and loves you and cares for you is just thinking, you'll do, I guess. That's your insecurity talking. If somebody's with you, it's because they want to be with you. I'm not going to tell any of you what my preferences are for physical relationships and attractiveness. I'm just not. Because you are worth so much. And my opinion on the matter doesn't matter. And it's just as likely that if you met me in real life and you had the thing that didn't match my preference, that you have something else that does, and I'd like you just as much. But don't give up, please. And more than that, I really really urge you to seek some kind of help for your insecurity. More than anything else, I encourage you to work on yourself, not just physically, but mentally, emotionally. And I promise, if you can be secure in yourself, you have absolutely no reason to give up hope. Okay. It's time for a palate cleanser. That was a very serious topic, but I received so many questions sort of in that vein that I really felt the need to address it. And now we're going to have a couple of silly questions. Number one. 1 out of 2. If all the sex toys you own came to life, Toy Story style, how would they behave and what would they talk about? My first thought was that they'd be scheming ways to get me to use them. So, like, when I'm not there, they'd be talking to each other, like, okay, but how do we manage to fall into her vagina or asshole or whatever, right? But honestly, I think they'd just be complaining about how I don't charge them. Remember to charge your toys, guys. And number two, Santa Claus, Easter Bunny, Tooth Fairy. We got a fuck, marry, kill situation here. Or the specific phrasing here is shag, marry, throw off a cliff. You know, fuck, marry, kill. I would fuck the Easter Bunny because bunnies are, you know, they're little fuck machines. What else do they do, right? Come on, like, that's what they do. They fuck. They reproduce. More fucking. I would marry the Tooth Fairy because apparently the Tooth Fairy has so much money that they could just give out money willy-nilly to every single person who loses a tooth. And I could use some of that money, honestly. And, ugh, I hate this. Because I like Santa. I like Christmas. The joy is beautiful. It's wonderful. By default, I have to kill Santa. I'm sorry. It's just by default, though. Okay. Thank you all for listening. I so appreciate it. This has taken forever. And now you know a little bit more about me, I guess.